Maybe. I always put a disclaimer in there, I hope. But we're in Jude. Go to the first and last chapter, both. Jude, no chapter, just go to the end of the chapter. Jude, verse 24. Starting in verse 24, we're going to go through 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. This is fun. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth. Thank you, Lord, that it is you who works in us. It's not we ourselves. It's not our power. It's not our authority. It's not our majesty, and it's not our glory. Lord God, it is you. And we praise you. Because we'd mess it up. Anything we would do would be just to mess it up, because it would be for ourselves. But Father God, you can even take our efforts. In fact, you work in our hearts and give us the desire of our hearts so that we can take those desires and utilize them. They become to be the action that you desire. Father, to live out who we are in Jesus Christ. Live out your grace and mercy and truth. And Father God, where others can see that and glorify you, because it is you at work in us. Thank you, Father, for how you love us. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for inspiring Jude to write this. Help us, Father, to glean the truth that is here. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. We've been going through Jude. The half-brother of Christ, he wanted to write to these folks and for us too. He wanted to write with joy. He wanted to write about the common salvation, about something fun. He said, I'm going to sit down and write something fun, but a need overwhelmed him, that need to remind us that there is apostasy, that there are people. There are people who would even proclaim the name of Christ and yet live in their own desires, live in their own heart, live their own way, misuse the grace of God. He started off talking about who the apostates were. Remember, we're talking about apostates, not the atheists who believe there is no God, or agnostics who say, who cares about God? We're talking about those who would proclaim to know something about God or to use God for their own purposes. So he goes on and talks about their entrance, how they came into the being through the side door, not through Jesus Christ. Their exit, being condemned, standing there condemned, and their belief that they're believing in themselves. He gave us examples of apostates. The apostate in the Old Testament, apostate Israel, how they acted, the apostate angels, and then the Gentiles with Sodom and Gomorrah. But there was no respect with the apostate, much as in contrast to Michael the archangel, and much pride. We went through all of that. Looked at some individual examples, Cain and Balaam and Korah, remember, out of the Old Testament, and how their life exemplified apostates. We looked at the fact that Enoch predicted this 5,000 years ago. Enoch wrote about this. So we saw his prophecy. But then we saw the practical descriptions and how Jude contrasts the Christians and apostles. And he said, remember what the apostles said. And then he says, remain. And what we looked at last week a little bit was to remain. And why does he do all this? Why does he tell us all this? Well, I believe it's for discernment, so that we can discern the truth. Because we have the truth of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We can discern that truth. And we can discern who to listen to, who to follow, because they are following the Spirit or because they are using the word of truth. But we looked at all that. And last week he gave the admonition to have mercy. Remember, he said in verse 22, he said, have mercy on some who are doubting, and that would be Christians who are falling into the trap of following some of these. They're doubting the truth. He said, have mercy on them. Show them the truth. And he said in verse 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire, which would be those who are listening, those who are unsaved and yet listening, yet able to, you know, hearing the truth. And then he said, and have mercy on some, have mercy with fear. And I believe he's talking about the apostate there. Have mercy and yet with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. In other words, being very careful to present the truth and have a truth. Remember, we are to love all people. We are to love everyone. And even the apostate here, who Jude is denouncing their form of belief, says, have mercy. Have mercy with fear, not fear that you'll lose your salvation, but fear of the message that can be taught. And he's going to go on and explain that in the next verse. I wanted to recap that real quick, because as he goes on here, I believe he's contrasting something. But this, what he's talking about now in verses 24 and 25, is the security we have as believers. The security, look what it says. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. This is God. God is the object here. Says to him who is over all, in all, and through all. Says to him who is able. Now remember, that word able comes from the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. It's having the power. He has the authority and power to do this. In other words, we can trust God in this. Who is able to keep you from stumbling. The word keep literally means to be a watchman. Now remember, in those days, they oftentimes would have a wall around the city, and they would stand someone up on it at night. And that watchman was responsible to set off an alarm if anything happened, if there was any need, if there was any danger. He was to set off an alarm. Now think about that for a moment, because we have God, our Father, God who created the whole universe, being the one who is the watchman. He's the one who is guarding us, okay? From what? Look what it says. To him who is able or has power to be the watchman and guard you from stumbling. The word stumbling is free from failing, basically, to failing. To, and it's talking about sin, even. Free from sinning. We look at that and we say, well, wait a second. Because I still sin. But I still have issues and I still sin. So is it that God isn't faithful? Well, according to 1 Corinthians, God is faithful. He says this, if I can find my note here. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And that word able is power there. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now, in that instance, it could be talking, there's a couple of things you could take there. It could be talking about trials. No trial is overtaking you. Or it could be talking about the temptation that leads to sin. And I believe both of them, he's in charge. Now, if you look in the context of 1 Corinthians there, it's talking about sin. It's talking about idolatry. So if we look at it as this, as God can keep us from sinning, yes, he can. He provides a way of escape, and then it becomes our choice. In any instance, and I was talking to somebody about that this week, but in any instance where you can look back and say, well, here's where I failed, I believe all of us can look back and say, but here's what I should have done or could have done, and I knew it. And I knew it. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Now, I want you to take that and section it here, because I'm not, this sin that he's talking about, or this stumbling that he's talking about, is specific. All right, so he's not saying just in general, can keep you from just any sin. That's not what he's talking about here, which I believe he can. Okay, and he does. He pricks our heart. He shows us when we're going against his heart. But here he's talking about something specific. Say that fast three times. Something specific, all right? Because you go back, keep it in the context that it's in. You go back to what he just said. He said, "Have and on some have mercy with fear." Fear of what? Losing our salvation? No. Not fear of that. Fear of what? Falling down the same path? No. Why? why can we go there with but the fear is that what they are wrapped up in sounds logically, worldly logical. So often sounds worldly logical. And yet God's word trumps worldly logic. The truth trumps the logic of this world. Because we can talk ourselves into anything, can't we? I mean, people can talk themselves in. I've had folks come in for counseling and say, well, this is the best way. I say, wait a second, it goes completely against the word, completely against the truth. But it feels good. It sounds good. Whatever the excuse is. But it says here that God can keep us to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I believe we're talking about what he just said. Having mercy on the apostate. Those who are living their life according to their own desires, not according to God. Ignoring the fact of God's truth. And he says here, you put your trust in God. To him, he is able to be the watchman, the one who will watch and mourn, and the one who will guard you from stumbling in such a way that you would be an apostate. From stumbling into their truth or into their falsehood. In fact, so much so, go on, what's it say? And to make you, and the word and is also in the same line, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. We will stand in God's presence. We are not going to stand in God's presence by our power and our strength. Not by our character, not by our ability or our personality, but by his character, his ability. In the presence of his glory. Do you see that? In the presence of his glory, we stand blameless. Blameless means without defect or unblemished. Faultless in the sense of being holy and pure. That's where our life is headed. And in fact, that's where we are in Jesus Christ right now. If you have trusted in Christ, you are blameless before God. Even when I sin. Why? Because he has forgiven me of sin. So, does that mean I should go and sin? Should we continue in sin so grace abounds? Because, hey, every time I sin, I get more grace. Isn't that cool? I get more grace from God every time I sin, so I should just go and say, no, that's not God's heart at all. That's not his heart. God's heart is for us to live out his life so that others can see our good works and what? Glorify him. So that to draw others to him. Not to draw others to our own sinfulness, but to draw others to his sinlessness. To draw others to him. But what's it say? He's the one that will keep us, even in the situation of showing mercy on those who won't listen, those who are misusing, or what we learned earlier, using God for their own benefit. He says, this one who will keep us, or he's able to watch you or guard you from stumbling, also to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. This is how God makes us a salvation, and this is how God keeps us, this is how God sees us, and will see us in heaven, and this is God's job. And guess what, folks? He's good at it. He's exceptional at it. We, get this. When God sees you right now, if you have trusted Christ, God is offering you a gift of salvation. He says, here it is. It's a priceless gift. I want you to have it free. All there is to take it. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive, lambano, to grasp, to take that. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, when you've done that, you have my Holy Spirit in my guarantee, my earnest money, that you have this great salvation. And he looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are blameless before God. Isn't that cool? That position, that puts us in the place of being his child. We go, daddy. We go to our daddy who absolutely loves us. We have that place before God. Now, Does that make you want to go out and sin all the sin that you want? That's what makes us desire to serve. That's what makes us want to serve God. Why? Because He loves us so much. Therefore, we love Him. Keep going. I'm going to finish this out because this is... and blameless with great joy. Don't forget the great joy. That's how we understand the great joy. Heaven will be great joy. We will have great joy because of what He's done for us. Not because of us, not because of all that we do or whatever we do, but of what He has done for us. We will have joy when we recognize our place before God, when we recognize. Can you imagine what we sang today, face to face with Christ my Savior? Face to face. When that happens, I mean, what Emma saw this last week. Can you imagine the joy? I mean, after facing the whole liver thing and everything that she went through and all that went on, but to stand face to face with, to stand face to face blameless, having the righteousness of God on my account. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the joy that we're going to experience. That's the joy that we get, not because we deserve it, but because He graces us, because He's had mercy on us. Keep going. Here's the benediction. Here's the Jude, just like not Moses. What's the guy's name that wrote the last one? Paul. Here we go. Romans. When Paul got to the end of chapter 11, he got to the end of chapter 11, he just burst out. He couldn't contain himself anymore. Burst out in prayer. Well, I think this is Jude. He wrote a short book, so his burst is short. All right, so we get to the last verse, and he says, to the only God, and that's unique, only unique one God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be what? Glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Glory is splendor or brightness. Majesty is lost. Majesty. Well, apparently majesty isn't part of the notes anymore. It's always fun when you lose your notes, isn't it? Okay. I don't have it. All right, let's go with it. Majesty. Majesty is his great... The Greek word is really fun. It's mega something. Anyway, I can't remember what it is, and I don't have my notes. They're gone. But it's mega something. And the last part means great. Mega means mighty and glorious. I mean, huge. So it's huge great. Majesty literally means huge great. So Jude here says to... what's he say? To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be splendor, brightness, and huge greatness. Mega greatness. This is Jude here pouring out his spirit, pouring out his soul before God. Splendor and glory, huge greatness, dominion, which means authority, or overall. No, the next one's authority. Dominion means power. Oh, I remember. Dominion. This is fun. So the notes are there, they're just gone, right? Dominion is a different word. It means power, but it's a different word than dunamis. Remember, dunamis was explosive power. Dunamis was the experiential power, all right? The word used here is a different word, and it means the presence of power. Not the use of it, but just the very presence of power that is overwhelming, the overwhelming presence of power. So Jude here, he says to this God whom we serve, this God who is keeping us, guarding us, this God who will make us blameless, stand blameless before Him in His glory, which, what is it about His glory? What was it that Isaiah said? Oh, if I go before His God's glory, what? I'm going to fall over dead. I'm a dead man. I'm a sinful man, a man of unclean lips who lives with a people of unclean lips. The glory of God is overwhelming to us. We stood before today, if God's glory shone here, we'd all be dead. Why? Because it's God. So His splendor, His glory, His majesty, His mega greatness, His dominion, which is the presence of power, His almighty power. Can you imagine the God who holds the universe in the palm of His hands is the one who lives in you? His almighty power. And then He says, and authority. His authority is His legal right to rule. His legal right to judge. His authority. He says, to this God be all glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. If you put that, if you took that literally, it's to the ages, it's forever. What was before, what is after. Now you look at that and you say, how can that, who created time? Who created time? God. God does not live in our aspect of time. God has seen the end of your life, has seen the beginning of your life. God is outside of time looking at the whole realm. I don't understand all that, right? I'll be the first. I admit, I don't understand. But I accept it as truth. Why? Because He said it. He is before all things. He is after all things. Jude here just breaks out in praise. Why does he do that? Jude has taken this whole book to warn us to be discerning. To warn us to be discerning because there is truth. God has given us truth. He's given us His word. He's given us a foundation of truth to stand upon. You do not have a slippery slope. You have God's word, God's heart, God-breathed scripture to lead you, to guide you, to stand upon. We have the Holy Spirit, our teacher, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who interprets the word, who brings it to life for us. And we can apply that word to ourselves. So Jude had something very, very, what's the word? He had something very concerning on his heart that he wanted to get across. And even though he was talking about apostates, even though he was talking about those who would lead people astray, who would lead people out of the truth, he still comes back to the fact that God has given us truth. That God will guard us. That God is the one we still trust in. Even though it looks like a mess, God is the one we still trust in. Isn't it fun? I know. Never be political, right? Isn't it fun to know we can still trust in God in November? Isn't that great? Because otherwise, I'd be worried. Because we can't come up with a situation, all these situations, we can't come up with anything. God can. When Jesus Christ came and lived on this earth, who was in charge? Rome. Oh, they were nice. They were pleasant. Rome. No, they weren't. But God used that. In fact, God used them and the Jews to make a way of salvation for us. Isn't that cool? God is in charge. God is our foundation. We have the truth. And He is the one who will make you stand before His glory blameless. That means that when we get to heaven, God's not going to be going, yeah, right. I'm thinking about not letting you in. I mean, He'd probably be doing that to me, except for His son, okay? But, well, I know He would. No, He wouldn't even be doing that. Get out. Right? But He sent His son. We stand before Him. He's never going to do this. He's going to say this. Give me a hug. I can't wait to hug you. I can't wait to show you everything that I have for you in heaven. Wouldn't that be fun? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What that means, He has worked through us. Doesn't mean everything I've done has been great. It means He has worked through us. Folks, we have a faithful, powerful, wonderful, holy God who loves you. and who is counting you as blameless, because he sees you through the blood of Christ. And he says, pure. And Satan says, wait a second, did you see what he did? And Jesus says, I paid for that. And God says, acquitted. 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 He gives us more grace. Even though we mess up, he gives us more grace. So Jude breaks out in praise. Folks, we've come to the end of Jude. Hallelujah. It's been a fast 3 weeks, hasn't it? Or something like that. I'm not sure exactly where we're going next. I have ideas. I just haven't got it nailed down. Be sure and be here for Red next week. I appreciate so much the fact that he's stepping in, giving us the opportunity. We've got a family reunion we're going to be going to, and truly appreciate that. But folks, if you have never trusted Christ, I'd love to show you in God's Word how you can have a relationship, not a religion, a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you. He absolutely wants what is best for you. My idea of what is best most of the time doesn't realm with his idea, because he wants us to grow in Jesus Christ. He wants us to share the love of Christ with the world. I would love to show you how you can have that relationship. If you do have that relationship with Christ, what we've learned in Jude is to be discerning. Be discerning. Because there are people who will misuse the truth. There are people who will want to take you down a path that would benefit them, not yourself. Be discerning. Take everything back to God's Word. Check it on the Word of God. Everything you hear from me, check it by the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit within you. Follow God. Yield to Him. Be dependent on Him. Don't depend on anything else or anyone else. You depend on Jesus Christ and God and His Word. You hear a message, accept it with joy, and go home and check it out. Make sure it's the truth. Be discerning. And then praise Him. Just open up and praise. Because we are blameless before God. And when we die, we stand before Him blameless. Praise God. Let's close in prayer.